This podcast is brought to you by Money Control.
Hello and welcome to Money Control. This is Jerome Anthony and you're listening to In The News, where we are going to give you your daily dose of the top stories from India and around the world. Today we are going to talk about the burning issue in India, the amended Citizenship Act. And one of my colleagues went to witness the protest, or rather the large-scale protest that happened at August Kranti Maidan in Mumbai. To tell us what she witnessed, I have with me Money Control's M. Saraswati. Hi and welcome to the show, Saraswati.
Hi, Jerome.
Saraswati, a lot of anger across India, peaceful protests in Mumbai, many examples set by Mumbaikars. Can you just run through us, firstly, of what happened in Mumbai yesterday?
So yesterday, you know, there were around 27,000 people marched to August Kranti Maidan for, as an opposition to the Citizenship Amendment Act, which has seen large-scale protests all across India. Now, unlike a few other places in India where there were reports of violence, yesterday was a completely peaceful protest that witnessed participation from across communities. And their demand, of course, was simple: to have an amended Citizenship Act which excludes certain communities is not acceptable to India, because as we know that secular is a prominent word that has been mentioned in the Indian Constitution. So what the protesters had called for is to have the whole idea of Vasudeva Kutumbakam, or the world is my family, and to include, if you are calling for persecuted minorities, you include all sort of minorities and not exclude a few.
Exactly. A particular community, this is what you mean to say. Saraswati, but the thing is, one of my colleagues, I discussed it with yesterday, and it was rightly that the Act does not mention persecuted minorities. It mentions minorities from neighboring countries and not persecuted. Okay, even if they are facing persecution in those countries, leaving out a community, a particular religion, is definitely what these people are angry about. And so we are seeing protests across India. Can you just give us what's really happening, you know, across India as well?
So all across India, we have seen protest, and you know, the government, of course, in various locations, for instance, in Delhi, in parts of Karnataka, has imposed Section 144,
right,
which prohibits assembly of more than four people. And so protest, you know, of course, as per law, they have been mandated to not protest.
Okay.
Across institutes as well, for instance, at the Tata Institute of Social Sciences in Mumbai, the faculty and the students have been given a direct mandate to not participate in the process.
Okay.
In any of these protests, primarily because it's a government funded institution, and then they cannot be seen opposing something which the government has passed as Farmers Act. Now, across India, there's, apart from the protests, there have also been reports of violence. Of course, in Ahmedabad, we've seen a lot of clashes between the protesters and the police, and there have been certain police officers that were injured as well. In UP, of course, there were two deaths that have been reported. Mangalore, there have been two deaths. Assam has already seen five deaths. And across Bangalore as well, we've seen several protests happening.
Right. There were a few deaths as well during the violence. Can you just update us about that as well?
So as far as deaths are concerned, officially we know that Assam has seen five deaths
so far,
and Mangalore has seen two deaths, and Jamia, of course, one person is said to be critical. And in Ahmedabad as well, we are hearing that there have been several fatal injuries. And it's, on the other hand, it's not just the protesters, the police have also seen injuries, especially in Gujarat, where the violent protests have been seen in Baroda, and they've had to impose Section 144 in certain areas. And in Karnataka as well, they've sought central assistance because the situation has turned violent in several areas. For instance, Kodagu, wherein there have been sudden protests and unplanned protests, wherein several thousand people suddenly assembled after the morning prayers. So that has been a bit of an issue.
Saraswati, just to tell you, this is one of my observations, and correct me if I'm wrong, one thing I noticed, that it is not a particular community, it is not a politically motivated move, it is the citizens of India, the honest taxpayers, the students who genuinely feel freedom is something, and it is them who on their own are come onto the streets, who them on their own are opposing the amended Citizenship Act. Can you tell us a little about that, please?
Yes, of course. You know, across the country, we've seen several institutes stand up to protest. The recent is, you know, Bangalore has said that they will be part of the protest. Officially not, but the students have said that they will be part of the protest.
Okay.
Students of IIT Bombay had taken part in the protest. Students of TIS had, of course, taken part in the protest earlier.
Yeah.
And this, a lot of them have been kind of, you know, even the protest yesterday, which was part of a group called Mumbai Against CAP, that wasn't called by any political party or any, you know, so-called CPM or their allied outfits, but by students and citizens as a whole, to kind of, their whole point has been to protect the integrity of the constitution and to not go against it. So more or less it has been peaceful, especially if, I mean, apart from the whole Jamia incident where there were reports of you know, police allegedly entering the campuses and destroying parts of the library.
Right.
Otherwise, students have kind of taken the forefront as far as the entire you know, Anti-Citizenship Amendment Act.
Thanks to the youth of India that, you know, there is some light at the end of the tunnel, but it still remains to be seen whether this act would be re-acted or further amendments to be made. Anything else, Saraswati, you would like to add?
So one interesting thing as far as you know, political parties are concerned is that after West Bengal and Odisha, which had said that they will not be implementing NRC, so today Bihar has come across and openly said that they will not be implementing NRC or the National Register of Citizens in the state.
Okay.
Now, additionally, West Bengal Chief Minister Mamata Banerjee has said that the United Nations itself should set up an independent referendum to see if this, the Citizenship Amendment Act as well as NRC, is in violation of the fundamental rights as far as India is concerned. Though the center is, you know, we've heard that the center is miffed by this move since an independent external party is being called for this. But from, I mean, from a state's perspective, while Kerala, Odisha, West Bengal and Bihar have said no to it, but we know that citizenship is a central subject. So this, they have no other option but to implement it.
All right, Saraswati, thank you so much for all these updates.
Thank you, Jerome.
Moving on from the burgeoning issue of the CAA protests, I have Money Control's Shraddha Sharma, who's going to tell us what the updates are in the Unnao rape case that happened in 2017. Hi, and welcome to the show, Shraddha.
Hi, Jerome.
So, Shraddha, can you tell us what happened today in the Unnao rape case?
So, the proceedings went on in the Tees Hazari District Court in Delhi. And we hear that the expelled MLA actually broke down after the court gave out the judgment. That said, it'll be a life imprisonment for him, along with rupees 25 lakh compensation for the survivor, plus additional 10 lakhs for the survivor's mother. So that is the quantum of, you know, the amount that he has to pay. Apart from that, there are five cases that were transferred from the from Uttar Pradesh to Delhi. That includes, you know, criminal conspiracy, kidnapping, and, you know, various sections from the IPC and POSCO Act. Because let me remind you, the survivor was actually a minor in 2017 when the incident happened.
Okay.
So various sections of the POSCO Act also apply.
Shraddha, can you quickly just trace down the entire case for us?
So yes, this happened in June 2017. On 4th of June, the 17-year-old goes missing from a village in Uttar Pradesh, and she was allegedly gang-raped that time by the BJP MLA and his brother and accomplices. So it was a gang-rape, and a missing person complaint was filed by the family members. Then she was found like around on the 21st of June, and in actually, after that, the case for kidnapping and other charges were registered in the police station. In April, there were a lot of, you know, reports about her father being trashed by the legislator's brother. So there was other things, you know, other five cases that happened in terms of criminal conspiracy where his father was actually beaten up, and there were, you know, he was put in wrong case in the police station that time. So all of that happened, and in April, her father actually died in police custody. And the post-mortem actually said that the death was due to, you know, blood poisoning. And it also lists multiple injuries on the body. So it wasn't a natural death. in April, they all three were Sengar, Atul Singh, and the accomplices were actually all of them involved in the case were arrested by the CBI.
Mm-hmm.
And there has been quite some time since the crime actually happened. And now finally in 2019, on Monday, we have the verdict from the Delhi District Court.
All right, Shraddha, thank you so much for all these updates.
Thank you, Jerome, for having me.
Moving on from justice being delivered in the Unnao rape case, let's talk about Tata Group, which is eyeing a stake in Walmart India's wholesale business. To tell us all about that, I have Sudesh Raut with me. Hi and welcome to the show, Sudesh.
Hi, Jerome.
Which business of Walmart is Tata looking to invest in?
So, Jerome, the media reports are saying that the Tata Group is looking to invest a 49% stake in Walmart's Walmart India's cash and carry. It's called cash and carry business. It's called the best price modern wholesale business.
Okay.
And they're hoping to enter the retail segment in a big way, according to these media reports.
Okay.
Through this kind of investment.
Mm-hmm.
And the agreement, according to these reports, was supposed to be announced by Walmart's international president and CEO Judith McKenna,
mm-hmm.
Who was in Delhi this December.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently the deal could not be finalized.
Okay.
According to the sources that were quoted in these media reports.
Can you tell us what was the reason behind them not for finalizing a deal?
So, Jerome, Tata Group has been in the news again because of the National Company Law Appellate Tribunal's decision to reinstate Cyrus Mistry,
right,
as the Tata Sons chairman.
Right.
This could have possibly added to the delay concerning the Walmart joint venture.
Okay.
According to the media reports. As an added point, the deal is also supposed to be bringing in funds to Walmart India, and it was supposed to be the beginning of Tata's entry into the domestic cash and carry business, apparently.
All right. And has Tata Group or Walmart responded to any of these reports?
Well, Jerome, Walmart India and Tata Group has still not responded to the inquiries at the time of this recording.
Okay.
As stated by the media reports.
Okay.
But if it does come through, this would possibly be the second kind of joint venture that Walmart has been doing into the Indian retail segment.
Right.
Previous one was a joint venture with Bharti Enterprises in 2007.
Right.
But that didn't meet success and it had to be disbanded in 2013.
Right. Right, Sudesh, indeed a move for Tata in the cash and carry business in the retail segment. And now there are media reports again that suggest that the government's MSME job portal shows lackluster job openings. Could you tell us what are the number of openings in the sector and why are we calling it lackluster?
Sure thing, Jerome. The MSME Sampark, which is the government's flagship job postings portal,
mm-hmm.
had apparently only 65 job openings and 923 vacancies. And this is against the staggering number of applicants, Jerome. It's
mm-hmm.
about 4,62,275 job seekers had registered with the platform. And you can see that the number of job openings and the vacancies in contrast to that.
Not even in the thousands.
Not even in the thousands, Jerome.
Right. So how many recruiters are posted on the website?
Jerome, the portal has about 5,386 recruiters,
mm-hmm.
and they have posted about 611 job postings, on which it had placed about 2,528 candidates till December 20th noon.
Okay.
Right. Just reminding you that this portal was launched by the President Ramnath Kovind in the June 2018.
Okay.
And this was meant to be a gateway for skilled youth to seek job opportunities and get themselves employed.
All right. And what are the steps being taken to resolve this issue? Rather, are there any steps being taken? Are there more jobs likely to be created? What's the scenario there?
Jerome, according to media reports, the Ministry of Small and Medium Enterprises has begun investigating into the reasons for this lackluster job postings and the kind of recruitment that they were hoping.
Mm-hmm.
They also pointed out that industrial firms and multinational companies tend to avoid seeking candidates using this portal because they had previously seen unsatisfactory training levels.
Okay.
From these candidates in the past.
Okay, Sudesh, thank you so much for all these updates.
Thank you so much, Jerome.
And for our listeners, just to recap what we spoke of today, we spoke about the burgeoning issue of the CAA, or rather the amended Citizenship Act, where people are protesting in thousands across the country. We spoke about the Unnao rape verdict being out and the conviction of Kuldeep Singh Sengar, the prime accused. We spoke about Tata looking to get into a joint venture with Walmart and enter the retail space in India. And lastly, we spoke about lackluster jobs on the government's MSME portal. With that, we wrap this episode of In the News. In case you have any query, in case you have any suggestion, please do write to us on mcpodcast@nw18.com. I repeat, that's mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views and updates, stay logged on to Money Control. Thank you for listening.